At one point in his book, Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, Malcolm Gladwell describes the state of heightened awareness that police officers feel in moments when they have to, you know, literally burst through a door into a hallway or a building or a house where they feel like their life is going to be in danger. What happens, as he describes it, is that an encounter that might happen in just a few seconds or even less seems to slow down. Time slows down as these police officers become so incredibly alert and sensitive to every piece of information that they're taking in, so that within a matter of seconds, they're seeing so much more than we might usually see. They're hearing so much more. Their sense of smell, everything is so attuned because they think that their lives may really depend on it. In fact, he goes on to say that those who have been doing this for a long time and those who are well trained and who have really learned how to be alert go through those doors with that same sense of heightened awareness, but are not just able to do what they need to do to protect their own lives, but can use that information to perhaps even diffuse the situation so that not only are they safe, but the other people who they encounter are safe as well. It's this state of incredibly heightened awareness where they are aware for just a few seconds of everything that's going on around them. I want to think for a minute about what the opposite of that heightened sense of awareness would be. And as I try to imagine what that opposite might look like, I thought about what it must be like to be a sleepwalker. I don't know if anybody here would admit to being a sleepwalker. I'm told I did it when I was a child. I don't do it anymore, thank goodness. But that's the exact opposite of being aware of your surroundings, is to be moving through your home or perhaps outside. And you're certainly going through the motions, but you're not aware of what's going on. I saw the word that I saw a long time ago, somnambulist, means sleepwalker. And I've always wanted to slip that into polite conversation and could never do it. So thanks for letting me show off a word that I once learned. Well, this morning is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the first Sunday of the church year. And so it's a moment when we begin talking about a promise that God has made to us to be with us, be among us. But I would suggest that in terms of our awareness of how that promise unfolds in our everyday lives, we may be a lot closer to those sleepwalkers than to those who are so aware of everything going on in their lives. I think we can be so much closer to those somnambulists as they go through their lives doing the right things, doing what they need to do, but a little bit asleep to their surroundings. And so I think that our gospel passage this morning has a strong message for us to be alert, to be awake, and to know where we're kind of getting lulled to sleep just a little bit by our everyday lives. Jesus says this: be alert at all times. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. Be on guard so your hearts aren't weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. These are things which stand in the way of our relationship with God. So in a way, we can categorize them as sins. Not sins in the way we were taught growing up, that sins are bad things that we think and do, but I think a much more profound definition of sin, which is those things, those choices we make, those things in our lives that turn us away from God, that make us less aware of how God is moving in our lives. And so I want to take these three things, and I think I'm learning that the way to make a name for yourself in the church world is to create a list of sins and name it after yourself. So I want to, you know, you have a history of mortal sins, of deadly sins. I've read about postmodern sins, which I think is pretty cool. But I want to have a list of three. And I'm going to call it the three sleepy sins. Because these are the sins that put us to sleep. These are the things that make us less and less aware of how God is present in our lives. And so I'll start with the first one that Jesus mentions, dissipation. Now, if you're thinking about things that you maybe are doing and you probably should cut back on, I'm going to guess that dissipation is not the first thing that comes to mind. I remember when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, I went to Catholic school, and you know, part of the ritual, second grade, every sort of high season, you had to, we lined up outside the confessional, and there we're all standing in line trying to think of something we'd done that wasn't too bad since the last time we'd been to confession that we could tell the priest. And I can assure you, I never thought of dissipation. It never came to my mind. But Jesus mentions it. Jesus mentions it, so I think there's probably something to see in it. Literally, dissipation means to disperse, to disintegrate. I think that thinking about it in the spiritual sense, there's a sense of there's something going to waste. We've been given many gifts, and perhaps by misuse, by inattention, by not being in good spiritual practice, we lose pieces of what we have. And that when that happens, we lose sight of where God is. I came across a definition from physics for dissipation. It's a process by which energy is used or lost without accomplishing useful work. Process by which energy is used or lost without accomplishing useful work. What I hear in that is a potential for spiritual drift, for entropy, where we just kind of lose our focus. We lose our sense of who we are. We lose our direction. And it's a little different from being lost in the sense that the Israelites got lost in the wilderness and lots of things to find along the way. This is more of falling off the path, of forgetting about your focus, about losing sense of that centrality of God in our lives. Now, it's going to happen to all of us. We all drift. We all fall off the path a little bit. In fact, we really should fall off the path every once in a while. It's an important part of the process. But sometimes we fall into this place where we completely lose our direction and we feel more inclined to nap than to do anything else. I'll tell you who writes really, really well about this. It's Dr. Seuss. I don't know if anyone has read the book Oh, the Places You Go. If you've graduated from anything in the last 20 years, you've probably been given a copy of this book. Or if you've given it, it's a great gift. But if it's on your shelf somewhere, pick it up, because I've often come back to it in the last 15 years. Because there are times when you go through slumps, where you do lose sense of the direction that you're going in, and that's a reality. But what Dr. Seuss warns us about, he says something's going to happen to you. You're going to go to what he calls the waiting place. The waiting place. He calls it the place for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow. Waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break. A place where everyone is just waiting. This is the place of dissolution, where we get a bit lost. And when you find this book and you open it up and you read this page about the waiting place, the next page you turn, it says in great big Dr. Seuss font letters, no, this place is not for you. Get up, get out of there, get on with it. Don't get lost in navel gazing. There's going to be times where we're there. We all get there. But it's really important that you move out of that if you can. And I think Jesus is saying much of the same thing, which is be aware if you've kind of been lulled to sleep just a little bit from having drifted just a bit. Well, the second sleepy sin, what I'll call the sleepy sin, is drunkenness. Jesus says, be on the lookout for drunkenness. And I take that to mean those things which desensitize us. Those things which draw us out of our better tendencies and cause us to work more out of our places of addiction and pain. Now, I think we can certainly take this passage at face value. Anyone who has experienced alcoholism or substance abuse for themselves or someone in their family know that that can be alienation incarnate. And if you're suffering through something like that, it's so hard to then be alert and awake to where Christ is in our lives. But I think that we can also see this as a metaphor. I think all you have to do is turn on the news when you get home and start looking for drunkenness. Start looking for dysfunction. Start looking for places where you're seeing more addictive behavior than sensible behavior. I think you can look at almost any conflict in the world and see addictive behavior in it. Two parties, two countries, two groups, somewhere at some level they've become addicted to hating one another. And they've found ways to justify it time and time again. And then in our own lives, in our own society, even when things are going well, or we think are going well, we too have our addictions. Whether that's the reckless pursuit of wealth or power, or the need for constant entertainment. The list can be long. Those things which draw us out of our better selves and desensitize us to the reality of God's presence in our lives. I think that's one way to think about drunkenness and what to be on the lookout. The third sleepy sin is worry. Now, this is a tough one because the reality is there are lots of things out there to become worried about. And maybe 2 months ago, I would have said, hey, there's nothing to be worried about. But now I have a daughter, and I've changed my mind. There are absolutely things to be worried about. But the point is not to let our lives become ruled by the things that we're worried about. The thing about worry is that it can disrupt our trust in God. I would even go so far as to say that worry can even sabotage our trust in God. Because we become obsessed with spinning over and over about the things that could be, the things that might happen, to the point where the things that are and the things that are right in front of us become invisible to us. Now, I don't want to diminish when there are real things out there, things to become stressed about, things that we do need to be concerned about and attentive to. But one way to think about worry, for me, as I'm thinking about these three sleepy sins, is that worry is kind of like daydreaming. Except instead of all these pleasant thoughts that sometimes are daydreams, it's more like nightmares. And maybe there are very real things that we're worried about and turning over in our minds. And maybe they're the boogeymen that we're creating. I think it's a mixture of both. But either way you look at it, there's an element of daydreaming in it. And that's not being fully awake. That's not being fully alert. That's not being fully present to God and God in our midst. I think what we hear this morning is a call to be alert. It's a call to be receptive, aware of how God is here now, but also aware of how God's promise is coming to fulfillment in our own lives. I think it means being receptive to those things that keep us from hearing the still small voice, the things that kind of lull us to sleep. And to that, I want to add one more. I can't call it the fourth sleepy sin because Jesus doesn't actually mention it. So I'll call it maybe 3.5 or 3.5. And that's this. It's really hard to be receptive and listening while we're talking. It's really hard to be receptive and listening while we place more emphasis on telling people what they need to know, what I've learned, and telling people what they need to learn from that. Now, it's important for us as people of God to be sharing with one another the witness of how God has moved in our lives. That is so important. But you know, this can be a season, perhaps in Advent, where we practice our listening skills just a little bit better. where we practice being open and receptive to the experience of others. Because what we're trying to do is learn how to tune ourselves to be more open to what God is saying to us and to how God is moving within us. I think Jesus is calling us to wake up, to be alert. Something special is happening. Something new is happening. This is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the first Sunday of the new year. But in all of our lives, there are new things happening. The key is for us to learn how to see them, how to listen to them, how to be aware of them. So our invitation on this first Sunday of the church year, in this holy season of Advent, or in whatever moment of transformation you currently find yourself, is to wake up, is to listen, to become more and more aware of the promise that God has made to us, to be with us, to walk among us, and to make us whole.